Welcome back to At Fabric TV. Once again, I'm joined by Dustin Metzger. And last time on At Fabric TV, we talked about this performance problem that you're researching. So just to recap, customers who were using At Fabric Cash were reporting that under kind of bursts of traffic, they noticed that it was getting slow. And so the Cash team said, well, we use WCF. Maybe WCF has something to do with this. So they asked Dustin, who works in our performance team, to look at this problem and figure it out. So then last time we were talking about threads and thread pools and all of this. It's just great, great information. So you definitely should watch that. So there's this I/O thread pool. And so what happens is a request comes in, the I/O thread pool has work to do, so WCF kind of queues up this work and waits for a thread from the I/O thread pool.
Right.
And when there's a whole bunch of bursts of work, there's lots of requests queued, and the I/O thread pool has this thread manager thread that wakes up every 500 milliseconds and says, do I have more work to do? Yeah, there's lots of work to do. I better spin up a couple of threads. So it spins them up and it goes back to sleep.
Right.
And we saw last time how Dustin has this test program that we'll create 100 requests, throw a burst of work, and we see the thread pool kind of ramp up slowly. And that was okay.
Right.
But it still took way too long. It took 15 seconds to do our little test.
Right.
And so then you adjusted the process model. So you set min I/O threads to 100.
Yes.
And you set the max threads to 200. And then we saw, boom, the whole burst of work took place in just over 2 seconds, which was great. Problem solved. We are done. Ship it. Let's go. All right.
Right.
So, but being a true performance professional, you were like, well, I'm not sure that's the end of the story. Or were you?
So usually it's like you test it out and you try it a few times and everything works. And it seemed to go okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't see any problems.
Okay.
So we recommend it to the customer, and they try it out, and everything's working great. And then, you know, maybe 2 hours into having their process, it stops working. And they call us back, and they said, no, it's not working correctly. And you kind of, like, scratch your head for a little bit, try to figure out what's, you know.
A fix that works for the first little bit, but then stops working after a while. That's
correct.
Crazy. What's going on there?
So,
Well, how did you approach debugging that?
So basically, when he tells us it's going to take 2 hours and it's going to start breaking down, we basically have to say, okay, well, we'll try to do the repro and run it for 2 hours and see if the same thing happens.
Okay.
And then we have it in an isolated environment, and then we can get a dump file or something and debug that.
Okay.
So that's the approach that we usually take. We try to reproduce it, or we try to borrow code that they're using and try to run it in the same environment and see if we can get that.
Yeah, and so one of the important things about a repro is you want to strip it down, right? You want to, like, so in this case,
absolutely,
even though the original problem was reported with AppFabric caching, you were able to reproduce the problem without AppFabric caching, just with WCF. So it made it simpler, right? Just to strip it down to a very basic level, a little simple console apps and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and it's great when customers do that for us, because some of them actually, you know, do. They try to isolate it down just so they can see what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, that's better than, like, here's a zip file with my whole website and everything, you know, good luck.
for a lot of reasons, people don't do that for us. So the last time we set the min/IO threads to, like, 100, and we put that burst of work in there, and it worked just fine. So
okay,
we sent it back to the customer, and then they told us, oh, it doesn't work. It's, after 2 hours, it just kind of breaks down.
Right.
So so we'll try to run that same test, just like I've done here. It's got a loop just while true. Just keep running this. So
okay.
And I would take out all the read lines and all that stuff. So
this is just gonna go and go and go. Burst of work, and then so it bursts, and then it sleeps for 25 seconds. So you get this. You want to see it breaking down, right?
Yeah. So like I had here, I had it set up so that every 25 seconds it would just push more work in there. So instead of doing that, I'm going to just do it every time I press the enter key.
Okay.
And then what we'll do here is make sure that my app pool is running. And just to show everybody the process model, we have min.io thread set to 100, the max set to 200.
Okay.
And we'll come in with that burst of work after we can. So in the perfmon, you can see the thread count on this process right now.
Okay, yeah, it's got very low threads right now. Cool.
So I'll start our process, creates 100 threads, pushes it onto there, and you can see this first jump.
Right.
So the first quest that comes in looks pretty good. And then what we'll do is we'll let it run for 15 seconds, and then it will... That's when the gate thread actually looks at this and says, mm-hmm. "No, there's no work for any of these threads that I've got going right now, so I'm just going to cut it down to what I need." And that's where you see this sudden drop in the thread count.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
So it adjusts that, so then if we come in with another burst of work, it should shoot back up.
Right.
So we'll do that. And then we get a totally different behavior.
Whoa.
And it's not like, it's not always the second time that you do it. It could be, you know, the third, fourth, fifth.
That's just weird.
It's just really weird. And it's like one of those things where, you know, we're kind of wondering what's going on. So on the performance team, we have contacts within CLR, and then we'll report this to them. We'll give them a repro and say, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
Yeah.
And then we actually got a response from the people that work on the thread pool, and they said there is actually a bug in the IO thread pool, so that when it's got an internal count of how many threads are actually open.
Yeah.
And when you get this burst and it creates all these threads, and then after a while it releases all of them, that count gets out of sync with reality.
Ah.
So it thinks it's got more threads available than it actually does. So it gets pretty weird. It's like now all of a sudden it's going to start metering at that 2 per second rate to create the new threads. So, and it's really weird. If you ran this for a while, sometimes it would jump up, and then sometimes it would go up really slowly, and it would like be intermittent, and then after a while it would just stop working altogether. It would just always go up at that metered rate. So the nice part about this is that, you know, the perf and the stress teams in WCF, we work together, and stress would normally be the people that would find this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where we do have tests that we do bursts of work like this, but we don't block the thread for this much. So it's like it's one of those corner cases that you don't always think about when you're writing all these tests. So now all of a sudden we have a pretty good test that we can put in there. So we run this thing for they actually have a test now after we made the fix and everything that they ran for 72 hours and it works just fine.
Ah, beautiful. So in fact, you know what, your boss and I went to a meeting with another Microsoft team that was complaining about something almost the same. I mean, it was like, over time we see, you know, our perf, you know, as we add load, our perf goes down, and then we get a dump, we look at the dump, we're looking at all this stuff, and then we said, "Wow, you guys are doing all this synchronous work in your service," you know, so... I mean, one possible solution, the simplest possible thing here would be if you just did your work asynchronously inside your WCF service, you'd probably be much happier, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a number of ways to do that.
Yeah.
The doing it, like making sure that it's completely async with regards to WCF can be a little bit difficult. I went along with my boss, and there's another guy, Dan Rigsby, that both blogged about this.
Yeah.
And basically, they give you an async result object, and they tell you how to do WCF server-side async.
Yeah, so in fact, if you do the async pattern in your WCF service, then WCF invokes you asynchronously.
Correct.
Right, and so that would be one way. I mean, you just get it automatically. Because I think a lot of people misunderstand when they see in the docs like an async pattern for their service, and they go, oh, cool. So then my clients invoke async, you know, and I'm like, no. You know, your clients can't see that. All they see, you know, they see what they see out of the WSDL and all of that. But mm-hmm. but this is about WCF talking to you.
Correct.
So when you do that async pattern, does mm-hmm. WCF then invoke your service on a thread from a worker thread pool?
No, actually, it still uses the IO thread pool.
Okay.
So that's one of the tricky things. Like, I actually have some code we can look at. So here's that async result. And then I have a in-memory get data async result. And then at some point here, there's this get data method. So I commented this out because I was mangling with it. But basically, if you look at Wenlong's blog or Dan Rigsby's blog, they give you this whole thing, and then you run this get data command, and then you're supposed to do your work inside that get data command.
Yeah.
And then what they put inside the get data command was a thread.sleep. So if you were to run that with that burst of work, you'd have the same problem.
Oh, okay. Because it's still on the IO thread pool.
Correct. And it's still, you know, the thread.sleep is always going to block a thread for that amount of time. So it doesn't matter. Like, it's like one of those things, you look at it and you try it out, and then it has the same problem, and you're like, well, I'm not going to go through all this trouble if it doesn't work correctly. But
which, by the way, I just to point out for people who have tried to do async work and they stumble over, oh, I have to implement iasync result and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's a heck of a lot easier to do it with the task parallel library. The system threading task class does iasync result for you. Just totally, totally easy. Mm-hmm. It'd be much easier to do it that way. But anyway, that's a side note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that people should look into when they're trying to do this.
Yeah.
So
the point is, just doing async on an IO thread and then still blocking that thread in some other way doesn't really help. You have we have to get out of the IO thread pool mm-hmm. to do something, you know, so that we're not blocking those guys.
Yeah, and then in like a middle tier scenario where you've got WCF in the middle tier and maybe you're calling a WCF backend service, you can make like a WCF call, like an async client call to the backend service, and then put that in your server-side async in the middle tier.
Yeah.
So then it's completely unblocked. So it will go out and call to that backend, and it will be a totally async call. And then when it comes back, it'll be scheduled, and you'll have that. The end on the air on
or, their or on the other hand, a lot of times people get a WCF call and then they talk to SQL Server.
Correct.
Right, and you can do async that way, no problem. Same kind of thing. It's just don't call thread.sleep or something like that, right? Or you wouldn't want to do like super intense compute bound work in your IO thread.
Well, you could do it. It's like the same thing, but like with the if you're doing like CPU intensive work, you actually kind of want to let the thread pool meter your threading.
Oh, true, because then the thread pool's helping you by keeping the CPU from thrashing.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough. All right. Although it's not very common. I think most typically people get a message in, they're like writing files, updating databases. All those things have async ways to do it.
Correct.
If you just do it that way, that's the better way.
I think in most businesses, they don't do like a huge CPU intensive work inside of a WCF service. It's usually a database or something else that they're trying to do.
Right. Okay.
So after we found out that there was this bug with the CLR IO thread pool, we tried to figure out, you know, how we could get around this. And actually, some of the customers that found this problem found an article by Javal Lowy. What he was talking about was synchronization context. And then he created his own thread pool, and it had all this, you know, thread priority and all kinds of other synchronization stuff that he added into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were basically taking that code and using that in their production environments to do this. And it works.
Yeah.
One of the things that we don't feel comfortable about is that it's you know, it's an MSDN article with a thread pool
some sample code
in it. And it's like, you know, he's not going to take your calls if you have problems with it. So
right, and you have to.
Yes.
Right? So okay.
So we want to make a recommendation to customers that is workable, and we're not we're not going to go through all this stuff with a brand new thread pool that's, you know, created just that we didn't create inside.
Right, right. And that's not to say we don't like Yuval or something. Yuval, yeah. We love you. Okay. No, I mean, it's just,
totally awesome thread pool
great,
you made.
Cool. Yeah, but, it's great stuff. Okay, cool.
But we want to go with something that we have internally.
Yeah.
So we basically took a look at what would happen if we use the worker thread pool instead of the IO thread pool.
Mm-hmm.
And the worker thread pool does not have the same bug as the IO thread pool. So that was the recommendation. Basically, we could take that synchronization context, and then the IO thread that the WCF request comes in on, it would see the synchronization context, and it would say, okay, here's my work, and it would pass it to that synchronization context. And then that could schedule it on the worker thread in the worker thread pool. And then once that finished, it could go back on the IO thread pool and go back out through the response through WCF.
You know, and by the way, a lot of people have no idea what a synchronization context is.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool mechanism that was introduced in the framework to give you a standardized way of dealing with threads. Because, I mean, like, different teams had developed different ways of, you know, how you dispatch work to a thread. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so if you were using one technology and they wanted to put work into something that another group did, and there was like no standard way to do it. So
right.
a synchronization context gave us a way where, you know, WPF does them, ASP.NET does them, we do them, and, you know, so then mm-hmm. it gives us a good standard way. And then customers can introduce their own way of doing it that can work with us, because we can just say, oh, we'll use your synchronization context.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's a very cool idea. And in fact, that's part of your solution here, right?
Yeah, so we actually just took Jafal's code. One of the things here that I commented out earlier was this worker thread pool behavior. So Jafal actually created this worker thread pool behavior attribute down here, and he implemented the iContract behavior.
Uh-huh.
And then you only have to fill out this one method here, the supply dispatch behavior. And then you set the synchronization context to something. And then that synchronizer is up here, this worker thread pool synchronizer.
Yep.
And it has two methods, just post and send. And then basically post is when I get async work, and send is when I have to do this work synchronously.
Yeah.
WCF almost never uses the send.
Okay.
And it's noted right here, only in like the peer channel do we do this send, and it's very rare.
Right.
So for the most part, we'll get this post in, and it's just a delegate, and we'll just throw it onto the queue user work item and let the worker thread pool handle it.
So this thing called the dispatcher that we just kind of saw very, very briefly, so it has a synchronization context. So the dispatcher says, I got some work to do, I need to dispatch it, you know, like, so it says, give me a synchronization context and I will call post, because I'm going to do it asynchronously almost all the time.
Right.
And so it hands it there. And so then what you did here is you used our friend threadpool.queueUserWorkItem, which is the good old worker thread pool.
Right.
Okay. And so now we got the work. So we're just saying, hey, instead of dispatching to an IO thread, let's dispatch it to a worker thread.
Correct.
And the behavior was just a way of hooking up that
yes.
dispatch to the right synchronization context.
Yeah, and he added that behavior attribute just to make it easy.
Right,
so instead
right.
of like doing it through config or some other way on the endpoint, you just throw it right there on the service and then it can recognize it.
Yeah, and behaviors can be applied through config if you wanted to. Like, if there was some reason why you said, like, hey, we can't touch the source of this, or maybe you don't own the source, maybe.
Right.
You can actually apply a behavior via config as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would move this 2-second sleep onto the worker thread pool. So then we need to set the min worker threads to 100 so that it can handle that work.
All right. So back to the process model.
Yeah. So we'll go back here on the machine config, and then we'll go into here. And then you just have the min worker threads set to 100. And then I'll save this, and I'll bounce this and go back here. start that up. Release those 100 threads. And there we go.
Beautiful.
That's what I want to see.
And so now, if you did this over and over and over again for days, that's it.
Yeah.
It's going to work.
It doesn't have that same bug. And actually, also, if you notice, this goes slightly longer than the IO thread pool as far as determining how long it's going to be before it drops all those threads. It's just one, you know, it's just a note, a side note, I guess.
Right.
Interesting to me. But.
So now some people would say, well, if this solves a problem, why don't you guys just always make it use the worker thread pool? Mm. Is any thought on that?
So when you switch from one thread to another, there is a cost there. There's a penalty there.
Okay.
In the case where you've got this long bit of work, the penalty is so small that you'd never notice.
Okay.
But if you're really fast,
right,
then if we switch from IO to worker and then back, it's not
the fast overhead
enough.
Is too much.
Right.
Okay. So the lessons learned here are, first of all, try to do all of your work in your WCF service asynchronously whenever possible. That makes your IO threads happier. Keeps the IO thread pool happier. If you did have some long work to do that you, for whatever reason, couldn't do asynchronously, this would be an option.
Right.
And we posted the code, actually. Did you posted the code?
Yeah, it's on the
Endpoint blog.
Yes.
Okay, which is soon to be the App Fabric team blog. Okay, but it'll still be out there. Stuff lives on the web forever, right? So people can see how this was done. Hey, well, that's really cool. Thank you so much for giving us some insight into your work and the story.
Sure. Yeah.
That was great. So we'll see you next time on App Fabric TV.